The scripture reading today comes from the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them and legal experts arguing with them. Suddenly, the whole crowd caught sight of Jesus. They ran to greet him, overcome with excitement. Jesus asked them, "What are you arguing about?" Someone from the crowd responded, "Teacher, I brought my son to you since he has a spirit that doesn't allow him to speak. Whenever it overpowers him, it throws him into a fit. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and stiffens up. So I spoke to your disciples to see if they could throw it out, but they couldn't." Jesus answered them, "You faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a fit. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been going on?" He said, "Since he was a child. It has often thrown him into a fire or into water trying to kill him. If you could do anything, help us. Show us compassion." Jesus said to him, "If you can do anything, all things are possible for the one who has faith." At that, the boy's father cried out, "I have faith. Help my lack of faith." Noticing that the crowd had surged together, Jesus spoke harshly to the unclean spirit, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." After screaming and shaking the boy horribly, the spirit came out. The boy seemed to be dead. In fact, several people said that he had died. But Jesus took his hand, lifted him up, and he arose. After Jesus went into a house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we throw the spirit out?" Jesus answered, "Throwing this kind of spirit out requires prayer." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Indeed, sometimes it is easy to be overly critical of the disciples. I mean, how do you fall asleep when you're supposed to be praying? How can you be so self-centered to argue about who's the greatest? How could you be so cruel as to consider sending multitudes away who are hungry or praying for fire to fall down and destroy those who oppose you? Now, on second thought, maybe we should be more understanding of those poor guys. We could easily be seeing our own weaknesses mirrored in their story. Take this morning's gospel, for instance. We all have areas of needed improvement. That's what we call it when we're talking about our own limitations. Whenever it's somebody else's limitations, it's easier to say that that's a weakness or even a failure on their part. We've all stepped into moments that could have been the big moment for us, our chance to shine, only to have our limitations exposed rather than our awesomeness. We've all felt the full weight of our failure come crashing down upon us, destroying our sense of confidence. That is a wound that leaves a mark, and not always just on our ego. It's one thing to come up against your limitations. That's bad enough. But when your failures are seen by others, maybe others who are counting on you, it can be humiliating. That's where the disciples found themselves in the ninth chapter of Mark's gospel. Three of the disciples had been taken up on a mountain to pray with Jesus. There they saw not only Moses and Elijah, both long since dead, but they saw Jesus in his full splendor and glory. And there were the other nine waiting at the bottom of the mountain. Along comes a guy who needs help. He had come looking for Jesus, who was unavailable at the moment. What were they to do? Tell him to take a number and wait along with them? Go home? Come back another day? Or should they maybe take a crack at it themselves? Man, if they could do this, maybe next time they'd get invited up the mountain. What seems to be the problem? Demon possession, you say? They had seen Jesus drive out demons before. How hard could it be? With equal measures of compassion and confidence, they take a look at the man's son. Surely they could help him. They knew what to do. At this point, the gospel seems to extend a bit of grace to the disciples. This part of their story isn't recorded. Yet we have no great difficulty imagining how the disciples might have struck out that day. Maybe they each gave it a go, each one more determined to do what the one before could not do. Maybe they decided to work as a group for once, perform some kind of joint exorcism. All we know for sure is they failed. Again, we have no problem imagining how that might have felt. We've all been there. We all know the pain and embarrassment of failure. We also know how the crowd must have responded. We've been there too. We've all witnessed a failure of others who thought they could do something only to find out they couldn't. Failure is usually not a crowd pleaser. Crowd response might have ranged from a disappointment at not seeing a mighty miracle, or to a side-eyed pretty much what we expected. Either way, all we know is how judgmental crowds can be. Crowds who never even attempt to do what the disciples had attempted to do, mind you. Crowds egged on by the legal experts. Nobody likes to be found out. And then, as if it couldn't get any worse, Jesus shows up with the three inner circle disciples. Maybe he wouldn't notice all the commotion. Nope. First thing Jesus says is, "What's all the fuss about?" A quick summary is given by the distraught father. Bottom line, "I spoke to your disciples to see if they could cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it." They couldn't do it. The disciples knew that. The crowds knew it. The legal experts knew it. Most of all, the Father knew it. Now Jesus knew it. They couldn't hide their failure any longer. They had been found out. Try as we may, our weaknesses are usually found out. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes so long that we have forgotten about them ourselves. Then something happens that challenges what we know or what we think we know or what we can do, and our weakness, whatever it is exposed for all to see. Maybe, unlike the disciples, we don't dare step out there and try anything difficult. We might choose to just stand in the safety of the crowd where our weakness is not exposed and we remain free to criticize the failures of others. But eventually the moment will come and we are found out. Would we dare to expose ourselves willingly? What would it look like if we were to just come clean about our limitations? Might it just be enough to open a way toward wholeness and healing? Let's get back to the narrative, shall we? After a harsh word of rebuke for the disciples, Jesus looks to the needs of the boy, saying, "Bring him to me." Seeing the boy suffering in the throes of the demon, Jesus asked his father how long this had been going on. The father told his son's story, and then he said something very interesting to Jesus. To Jesus, mind you. "If you can do anything, help us. Show us compassion. If you can do anything." Had the inability of the disciples to help him planted a seed of doubt in whether Jesus might be able to help? whatever it was, the wording of the plea wasn't missed by the ear of the master. If I can do anything, all things are possible for the one who has faith. Now it might be Jesus side-eyeing the disciples whom he had just called a faithless generation. Scripture says at that the boy's father cried out, "I have faith. Help my lack of faith." Just as we might easily identify with the failure of the disciples, we can also identify with the compassion and confession of the boy's father. It's not that we don't have faith, but in the living of life, in the facing of challenges, we must confess that sometimes our faith may not be all we thought it was. When it comes to faith, we need help because we're found lacking. On a day when all goes well, we affirm a faith that will never be shaken. On a day when our child is sick and there is no help to be found, it might be another story. On a day when our place in the world is secure, our faith gives praise to God. On a day when we feel vulnerable and wonder when the tides of suffering will subside, we might wonder if our faith can do anything to make a difference. We identify with the Father. Lord, we have faith. Help our lack of faith. What's the difference between the faithless disciples and the faith of the Father in this account? Perhaps faith for the disciples was the knowledge which they had acquired from being with Jesus, hearing the lessons he taught and watching his compassion in action. Maybe faith was the body of knowledge and experience they had gained on the road with the Master. Maybe faith was something that distinguished them and their ideas and their minds from the doubters. How surprised those guys must have been when Jesus set them alongside a faithless generation. That wasn't the kind of faith that was able to do anything to relieve human suffering with which they were confronted. It wasn't the faith the Father was looking for on behalf of his Son, nor was it what Jesus was looking for in his disciples. That was a lacking kind of faith. The Father's faith, on the other hand, was different. His was a broken-hearted faith that knew his own powerlessness to help his Son. He knew his faith was powerless against the devastation that continued to cast a shadow of despair over his family. It wasn't that he didn't have faith. He just realized the faith he had was lacking in real-life situations. In that regard, his faith and the disciples were pretty much alike. The real difference was what he and the disciples chose to do about it. Why did Jesus have to ask for the boy to be brought to him? Since they couldn't do anything, why hadn't the disciples taken the boy to Jesus when they first saw him coming? What? And lose the argument with the legal experts? And be seen as nothing more than the faithless generation? Why didn't they confess their failure to Jesus? The fact that they found themselves just as powerless as the Father wasn't the issue. The real issue seems to be that they tried to hide their failure, whereas the Father, desperate to find help for his Son, confessed he found his faith to be lacking in the face of trials. You see, faith might not so much be about the ability to cast out demons or hurl mountains into the sea. Faith might be more about having the ability to admit you can't do anything and still standing in the middle of the fray and praying for a divine visitation of compassion. What if we were to ask Jesus why we can't do what it takes to dispel the pain and suffering we see around us? It's likely he would respond to us as he did to the disciples. Let us pray, for prayer empowers us. When we feel like we can't do anything, let us pray, for prayer can dispel all the power of evil and open the way for healing and wholeness in our world. Amen.